fine. I'll do what you want. LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode number 146. This is the daily podcast where we are reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. My goal is to help you accomplish that objective of reading the entire Bible, and perhaps share some insights from each day's reading that helps you think about what we've read that day. And I'm thrilled that you're with me today. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. If you'd like to get in touch with me, my email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. Today's reading is Luke 5 and 6. To find out what Bible translation I'm using today, just go to the show notes page at bible.lifespringmedia.com, episode 146. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that as we open your word today, you touch our hearts, Lord. Open our eyes, open our ears. Help us, Lord, to hear what it is you have for us today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's begin. Luke chapter 5. Now Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing around him to hear the word of God. He saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then Jesus sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water, and lower your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but at your word I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets started to tear. So they motioned to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they were about to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For Peter and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so were James and John, Zebedee's sons, who were Simon's business partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." So when they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came to him who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he bowed down with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." So he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then he ordered the man to tell no one, but commanded him, "Go and show yourself to a priest, and bring the offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, as a testimony to them." But the news about him spread even more, and large crowds were gathering together to hear him and to be healed of their illnesses. Yet Jesus himself frequently withdrew to the wilderness and prayed. Now on one of those days, while he was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting nearby, who had come from every village of Galilee in Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. Just then some men showed up, carrying a paralyzed man on a stretcher. They were trying to bring him in and place him before Jesus. But since they found no way to carry him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down on the stretcher through roof tiles right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Then the experts in the law and the Pharisees began to think to themselves, "Who is this man who is uttering blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their hostile thoughts, he said to them, "Why are you raising objections within yourselves? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, stand up, take your stretcher, and go home." Immediately he stood up before them, picked up the stretcher he had been lying on, and went home, glorifying God. Then astonishment seized them all, and they glorified God. They were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen incredible things today." After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. "Follow me," he said to him. And he got up and followed him, leaving everything behind. Then Levi gave a great banquet in his house for Jesus, and there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others sitting at the table with them. But the Pharisees and their experts in the law complained to his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "Those who are well don't need a physician, but those who are sick do. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Then they said to him, "John's disciples frequently fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours continue to eat and drink." So Jesus said to them, "You cannot make the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them, can you? But those days are coming, and when the bridegroom is taken from them, at that time they will fast." He also told them a parable. "No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old garment. If he does, he will have torn the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins and will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. Instead, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. No one, after drinking old wine, wants the new, for he says, 'The old is good enough.'" Luke chapter 6. Now it happened on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the grain fields. And his disciples plucked the heads of grain and ate them, rubbing them in their hands. And some of the Pharisees said to them, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" But Jesus answering them said, "Have you not even read this, what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he went into the house of God, took and ate the show bread, and also gave some to those with him, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat?" And he said to them, "The Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." Now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man who had the withered hand, "Arise and stand here." And he arose and stood. Then Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy?" And when he had looked around at them all, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. But they were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12 whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called a Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came near to him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits. And they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. Then he lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will clearly see to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from the bramble bush. A good man, out of the good measure of his heart, brings forth good, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house, who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Beloved, I'm going to focus on chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. This is the scene where Jesus asks Simon to take him out onto the lake so that he can teach. So, Jesus gets into Simon's boat, and he asks Simon to put out a little way from the shore. Note that Jesus' first request of Simon didn't require much faith from him, did it? All he asked was for Simon to take him a little way from shore, so that he could speak to the people who'd been pushing and crowding him in order to hear the word of God. So picture the scene. Simon, who was also called Peter in the Gospels, and some of the other fishermen were by the lake with their two boats, washing their nets after having been out all night, trying unsuccessfully to make their day's catch. Jesus is being followed by a throng of people anxious to hear him teach the word of God, and when Jesus sees the boats, he decides to get into one of the boats and speak to the crowd from a short distance away, using the water as a way to put some space between himself and the people, and also using the water as an acoustic aid so that more people could hear. The sound of his voice would carry as it bounced off the surface of the water. Now, the fishermen were tired. They had worked hard all night, and they were frustrated because of the lack of anything to show for their work. And now Simon, the one most prone to emotional outbursts, we know this because of our study of the Gospels, is asked to stop cleaning his net and Uber Jesus out in his boat. Now, we're not told what Simon's reaction is when Jesus makes this request, but I can imagine that he was less than thrilled. I'm thinking that he was probably looking forward to going home to get cleaned up and grab some shut-eye, and I doubt that he hid his displeasure very much from Jesus. Nonetheless, he takes Jesus out in the boat, and he becomes a captive audience to listen to Jesus' sermon. Now, Luke doesn't tell us about what Jesus said, but after his message to the people, Jesus tells Simon to go out to the deep water and put his nets back out for a catch. So now Jesus is asking Simon to do something that requires a little bit more faith, isn't he? And what does Simon do? He says, "Master," which is a term of respect for a person of high status, "we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but at your word, I'll lower the nets." So in a sort of backhanded way, he says, "Sir, we've been at this all night. The fish aren't here. We know this lake. We've been fishing it for years. We know what we're doing. But okay, fine. I'll do what you want." Maybe it's because Simon knew Jesus' reputation. Maybe it's because of what Jesus had said in his message to the people. Maybe it's because of the way Jesus asked. Maybe it's a combination of all those things. But Simon, against his quote-unquote better judgment, lowered his nets. Well, of course, the fish filled the nets, and Simon had to call the other fishermen to come and help bring the fish in. And both boats were filled with fish. And then what happened? Simon fell down at Jesus' knees. This is him acknowledging that Jesus is worthy of worship. And then Jesus said to him, "Don't be afraid, Simon. From now on, you are going to be fishers of men." Jesus first approached Simon and asked for a little faith, and then a little more, and then more. What happened after they got all the fish into their boats and they got to shore? They left their boats and all of the fish behind and followed Jesus. I've discovered, beloved, that God often works like this. When I was very young in my faith, I used to think that living the Christian life would get easier as I grew older. I thought that once I learned to trust Him, life would get easier and easier. But I've discovered that He asks for more and more faith. In a way, it has become easier to trust Him because He has always shown Himself to be trustworthy. Peter found that when he took Jesus out a little way from shore, he got the benefit of hearing Jesus teach. Then he found that when Jesus asked him to go out into the deep water, he was richly rewarded with a catch of his life. He found that putting his faith in Jesus forever changed his life and ultimately his eternity. And Jesus is still asking us today, let's go out into the deep water. What's your answer? I invite your comments. Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Tomorrow, beloved, we'll start the book of Galatians. We'll read chapters 1 through 3. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thank you for being here today. Bye.